You'll find your way in your Bibles to 2 Samuel 20, one chapter tonight. And let's go ahead and let's jump right in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit, and how you instruct and teach, and how you bring to remembrance the things that our Lord, that you, Christ Jesus, have said to us. We ask tonight to learn, and the things that we have seen and heard and know that are in you, that which we are to do. We ask that you would teach us tonight through the study of your word, and we ask to be strengthened by might through the Spirit in the inner man. And this I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so as we continue to study through 2 Samuel, we just have a couple of weeks left. There's four chapters after tonight. Picking up really in the place that at first glance, reading through it, I don't think we appreciate just how much trouble the nation is in. I think the focus can quite easily be, oh, David's in trouble. But when Absalom laid hold of the kingdom and gathered all of Judah together to fight against David, it was the tribes of Israel that gathered to David, and there really was an all-out Judah versus Israel battle. And at first glance, you might think that it was all about David, but I remind you, quite the opposite. Likewise, when we live our lives, again, even as those things that we walk through are where you're placed, even as one would answer a call, say to pastor, to elder, to deacon, or women's ministry leader, or ministry leader, and or leading an outreach, and in that nature of the warfare, always remember this, that the battle isn't about the one that's going through the battle, okay? And many ways to describe this, we find, and I pick it really up in the first two verses, the two previous verses. The men of Judah answered the men of Israel, because the king is a close relative of ours, why then are you angry over this matter? Well, neither one of them was bringing the king back. The Absalom had laid hold of the men of Judah, and they lost. Absalom was killed. And then the men of Israel were slow to bring David back as king, and David had inquired of his brothers, the men of Judah, and I calculated it out, not by numbers or years, but under King Saul, the kingdom was never really won. And you can study this out. And it really is Benjamin versus Judah because of Saul coming from Benjamin. And David's turmoil, now he's going to reign 10 more years. And then only one king after David actually has the whole kingdom altogether. It's only out of the first three kings of Judah and Israel that the unity, right, I'll put out there, the unity of the brethren from Psalm 133. They're only unified as the tribes under three kings and not the entire time. Now, at first glance, that may not mean much to you related to ancient kingdoms, and neither should it maybe mean much to us, except that the Holy Spirit, in the context of this, I believe wants to teach us tonight about our part of endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Well, we'll be picking that up on Sunday, how there's one faith, one Lord, right, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, and yet there's 40,000 Christian denominations in the world. Okay? Now, it does not mean that all of those 40,000 are actually accurate, which now enters another problem. And so introducing this tonight, why then are you angry over this matter? Well, from the book of James, as we've studied, I paraphrase it with my kids growing up as I taught them where do wars and fights come from among you. You can study out your Proverbs. There's two sources of fighting. It's strife, right? Two sources of strife, selfishness and pride. Or to quote James 4, you know, wars and fights among you, you want your own way. We find that the men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, we have 10 shares in the king, therefore we also have more right to David than you. Why then do you despise us? Were we not the first to advise bringing back our king? Yet the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel. Now, if you missed it, they are not together. They just fought this battle, and Absalom was killed. They're not together. So we have a lot to learn tonight. I've entitled tonight's Bible study, Them That Cause Divisions. Okay? Them That Cause Divisions. And you can jot down in your title Romans 16:17. And I'll jump there first so you know where I'm introducing this tonight. If you want to see it, I think it's worth it. We talk a lot about being genuine church in Romans chapter 12, being one body, and we endeavor at that. We endeavor at offering our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. We endeavor at using the gifts of the Spirit that have been given us to bless one another in the body of Christ. Again, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, says the Lord. That's in chapter 12. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And final instructions, again, that Romans 13, 14, and 15 all has to do with receiving one another in the faith, walking in the light with each other, not to doubtful disputes, making no provision for the flesh. It's a great, again, teaching of God's Holy Spirit that to be that genuine, follower of Jesus Christ. And as I introduce this part of Him being our good shepherd, we're going to need that tonight. Because David is once again the shepherd of Israel. And we're not going to even cover much of David's interactions. David's not going to have much to say in chapter 20. And you think about it, many times it's not the voice of Jesus now speaking in the church. What do I mean? It's the voice of individuals that are needing to solve the divisions, contentions, the envying, and the strife. Now, as I illustrate this, Romans 16:17 introduces another uncomfortable truth in church. If you can call it that. Is there any such thing as an uncomfortable truth? Nope, just truth. It would only be uncomfortable if we're not willing to what? Walk in the truth. And this is where we get tested. Romans 16:17. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Okay, so not a problem, you would say. Well, wait a minute. Read the next verse. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Now this, where I get the title, those who cause divisions, or King James says, them that cause divisions. Now we find the children of Israel, brothers in strife. We have 10 shares, okay? Why do you despise us? Bring back the king. And yet the words of the men of Judah were fiercer. Yeah. Brothers in strife, division, envying. Out of that, Chapter 20, verse 1. So there happened to be a rebel, or literally, a man of Belial. A worthless man, a son of the devil. A rebel of a man named, whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite, and he blew a trumpet and said, we have no share in David, nor do we have inheritance in the son of Jesse. Okay, catch the disrespect and dishonor to the king. Okay, he's not saying the king. Every man to his tents, O Israel. Well, in titling this tonight, Them That Cause Divisions, you have this Greek word in the New Testament from Romans 16 called divisions that also gets translated sedition when you're looking at the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. Works of the flesh and being strife. Again, if you're looking in the King James, seditions. And you look up sedition and you look up divisions, and they're both in the English language considered to be less than rebellion. Okay? But in the use of this in the Greek, in looking at this for the title, and it is spot on. If you hear this, he's a son of the devil. He's a rebel. Now, why is rebellion such a serious offense? Well, in fact, when King Saul rebelled by not destroying the Amalekites, not obeying God's commands, and yet wanting to claim that he had walked in obedience, and God offers this up in a, is he so delighted with burnt offerings and sacrifices and great offerings and lots of people in church, and if I may modernize that, or is he interested in obedience? Now, I say he's interested in obedience. So let's address this, because they're brothers in strife. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. And I hope to put a handle on this for you tonight. By the way, if you read ahead, Sheba loses his head. Okay? They throw his head over the city wall. Okay? And now I'm going to say something to you. He needs to lose his head. No. Don't be unwilling to make good, righteous, true judgments in church. And if a wolf comes into church, and if you see the shepherd losing on somebody, what do you know? Is there something wrong with the shepherd, his disposition? He wasn't quite like Jesus, where Jesus saved every fly and every mosquito alive and whole. I don't think Jesus was that way. But if a wolf comes into the flock, what will that shepherd do? He will drive that wolf away. Now, where did I send you?
1 Corinthians 3:3.
All right, very good. It's in my notes. 1 Corinthians 3:3. Amongst brethren. Hey, we studied this letter. So let's work through this in the church, right? For where you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, divisions among you. Now, divisions does not mean that the person necessarily, right, is one of the ones where that them that cause divisions that you're to avoid and get rid of. Okay? Not necessarily. So here in the church, amongst the brethren, amongst Judah, amongst Benjamin, they're having envy, strife, divisions among you. Right? Are you not carnal, behaving like mere men? And then the exhortation was to be spiritual. The exhortation was to not operate in church according to your carnal nature. Things like, we'll study in Ephesians chapter 4. Don't live like the Gentiles live, like the unbelievers live in the vanity of their minds. Okay? And the instructions of being kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. See, in the body of Christ, when we have strife, contentions, and divisions, and envy, it is to be addressed. Now, a little bit farther ahead in 1 Corinthians, find 11:18. And I'm going to make a distinction tonight, because I believe scriptures make a distinction. And I see it in David's life. I see it in the kingdom. Out of all of that envy, strife, and division between the tribes of Israel and Judah arises a rebellion of a man. Okay? Arises a man who sneaks his way into church to pull people apart, draw people away after himself. 1 Corinthians 11:18. Let's see if I have the right reference. Yeah, for first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. Now, is it over? It's not over if there's divisions. What have you learned? Go and, if you who are spiritual see a brother who's sinning a sin, right, stumbling, you who are spiritual, go to your brother and restore them in the spirit of meekness. Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17, if your brother sinned against you, you go to him and you win your brother over. If he receives you, you've gained your brother. And if he won't listen to you, you take one or two others. For what? For reconciliation, to win your brother over. See, there's more instruction amongst the brethren to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How wonderful it is when brethren dwell together in unity like the dew of Hermon and like the oil upon the beard, again, the anointing of Aaron. Why is that important to the psalmist? Oh, don't you remember the contest? Well, why is Aaron the priest? Our tribe, remember Korah? All of God's people can be priests. And then you put everyone submits their rod with the name of their tribe, you know, engraved with a little wood-burning kit like I had. You plug it into the outlet and burn your name into it. Not quite. But God made a choice when those staffs were laid up before the presence of the Lord, and only Aaron's rod budded, blossomed, and produced almonds overnight. Now, when we study this, and I bring it up in this way, there is absolutely no logical reason why David was able to defeat Absalom in his rebellion against his dad. You can study it out, the numbers. It was God giving an answer. Now, in this brothers with strife and division and envying, now comes this man who says, I'm going to rip the kingdom out of David's hand. Now, what's God saying? God has already said David's the king. He gave answer. So every man of Israel deserted David, 2 Samuel 20, verse 2, and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. The men of Judah from the Jordan as far as Jerusalem remained loyal to their king. Now you have, once again, the split. Now, do you dare call it a church split? Well, not every church split is actually a church split. Now, very important that you would learn and grow and understand. Now, find your way to 2 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now, when I talk about 1 Corinthians 3 and the carnality and the envy, strife, and divisions in the body of Christ, those can be addressed. Okay? Now, we don't have that going on here. These things aren't happening here. It sure is much more fun to teach this Bible study without any one single person in mind. Don't you like that? I absolutely love that. Doesn't change the Bible study. Now, find your way to 2 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And look at verse 2. Many will follow their destructive ways. King James says their pernicious ways. Because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Now, a little bit farther to the right, go to the book of Jude. Jude wanted to write about the common salvation, or if I can paraphrase it, the unity of the brethren. Isn't that what our salvation is? We're saved, let's talk about the unity of the brethren. Isn't it great? Big hug. Oil on the beard of Aaron. He was anointed by God. And yet, all the other tribes would need to submit unto that, and God gave his answer and says, yes, I anointed Aaron. Now, book of Jude. I'll pick up some of these. And if you're not familiar with the book of Jude, well, you'll become familiar tonight, in part. Jude, only one chapter. Verse 4, For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men. Now, son of Belial, right? Son of the devil, without God, ungodly men. Very much an equivalence. Ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, jump to verse 8. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, speak evil of dignitaries. Okay, what did you just find with Sheba? Who is David anyway? My paraphrase. Okay. Korah, he led the rebellion. Sodom and Gomorrah went after strange flesh. Jude references these things. And we need this in the church. It's not pleasant. I don't think anybody's going to come tonight. Oh, what a pleasant Bible study. Neither are the meetings that you have to have to sort this out. What happens if you have an ungodly man in church and it wasn't made known until last week or yesterday? Well, in the context of Second Samuel, what 3 days, right? You get this right in 3 days. Now, I look at this and I look at this understanding. They reject authority, speak evil of dignitaries. Now jump down to verse 15. Okay. So speaking of the Lord coming with his 10,000 of his saints to do what? To execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. I say unto you, Sheba's head should come flying over the wall like a basketball. Likewise, if you have someone in church that Jude is describing, what should happen? See, and all of a sudden, things change tune a little bit, don't they? Well, praise God that you don't have to deal with these things, but I get to, right? I don't take pleasure in it. The reason I'm smiling is because nothing's going on. I don't have anybody in mind. You know how fun that is? See? But I know others who've recorded their meetings for learning purposes for others. I know of an ungodly man. I was there. I was there to see him disfellowshipped. It happens pretty rarely. But he was an ungodly man. Had to go. These are grumblers, complainers. Still Jude, verse 16. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts. And they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain an advantage. Pay attention to that. Oh, you're so wonderful. Thank you for all the things you do in the Lord. I haven't done anything for you. So you have to listen closely, don't you? Flattering mouth works ruin. Speaking mouth, great swelling words, flattering people to gain an advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers, and after our recent study, mooers, right? Those mooing at God, there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. They are sensual persons, and look at right that phrase right in the middle of verse 19, who cause divisions. Not having the Spirit. So you want to pastor a church, you say. You want to be an elder called upon to make a judgment in hearing a matter out. So you want to, you know, have the unity of the brethren, and you want, you know, the beard running down, you know, the oil running down Aaron's beard, and you want the dew of Hermon. It's very, you know, dew of Hermon's great. Yep. The only way you can endeavor to keep the unity is to what? The ungodly must not be accepted in the assembly to cause divisions and to take many people away. So every man, back to 2 Samuel 20, Now, if you who stayed here before going to Omaha thought you were just getting, oh, he's just going to phone this one in and we're not going to get the Bible study, you're going to get a Bible study. Bless the faithful, right, who are here. And everybody will be listening to this online and like, I wish I would have been there. Okay, these are the things. Every man deserted David. Now, verse 3, David came to his house at Jerusalem, and the king took the 10 women, his concubines, whom he had left to keep the house, and put them in seclusion and supported them, but did not go into them. So they were shut up to the day of their death, living in widowhood. Remember what Absalom did? Now, this is righteousness for David. He's not going to go into the same woman that his son has gone on to. And he cares for them. But again, their lives now, think about this. How many times is a, you know, ungodly man comes in and is able to do something to a woman in church? Very important you see that. Okay? Many times it's that sin that isn't known, and these things need to be addressed. And the king said to Amasa, assemble the men of Judah for me within 3 days and present yourself here. Now, most of us are not used to confrontation because we don't like confrontation, because confronting somebody causes you to think about yourself and say, I don't really know if I should confront or what they'll think of me, or maybe I'm wrong. And this becomes the point here that I just learned this here in this 3 days. For whatever reason, Amasa, he went to assemble the men of Judah, but he delayed longer than the set time. Now, it doesn't say why he delayed. Plus, it's also not passive. It's not, they didn't listen to Amasa. Something in him didn't do what David needed him to do within 3 days. Now, it's a great standing order if you hear someone talking about another. Give them 3 days to go to the other person instead of gossiping to you about it. Give them 3 days. Go to them and talk to them about it and get it fixed. And then if you need me, I'll come and join and help you. See? But usually, that never happens. Amasa went to assemble. Okay? We can talk ourselves out of confrontation with just a thought. Now, if it's amongst brethren, what are you expecting? I'm expecting restoration. If it's with a brother, what are you expecting? And with sister with sister, what are you expecting? Oh, we'll get this worked out. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. I'm a sinner, they're a sinner. Yep, I understand sin and forgiveness. How could you do this to me? Well, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner, and I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me? It's not that fun to have that answer, but isn't that what the answer is? Why'd you do that to me? Well, so that's amongst brothers. But I remind you, Sheba is not what? He's a son of Belial. How did he get in here? Who let him in? Hey, if Satan can masquerade as an angel of light, we should not be surprised that his demons can masquerade, and then we shouldn't be surprised that someone who Satan's got a hold of, that they can make themselves appear to be godly when they're ungodly. Now, don't get creeped out tonight in church that who's the ungodly person in church? So we're doing this study, right? Again, I'm telling you, I have nobody in mind, so don't anybody come up to me. Every time for interns, I assign the book, you know, How to Deal with Problem People in Church, and that's the tagline, it's the well-intentioned dragons. Am I a well-intentioned dragon? Oh, no, we get so self-focused. But to be able to have this, so Amasa didn't do this. Now, verse 6, David said to Abishai, now Sheba the son of Bichri will do us more harm than Absalom. Take your Lord's servants and pursue him, lest he find for himself fortified cities and escape us. Now, David just marked this man as one who causes divisions, and you must avoid him and you must put him away. That's what he just did. Now, in the context of the you know, physical battle versus the spiritual warfare. You notice he's not asking Joab. Why not? Well, Amasa is the general, because after what Joab did to Absalom, David's not good with Joab right now. Amongst the brethren, there is contention and strife. They don't have it resolved. Okay? Now, how long is too long to work something out? I don't know that answer yet. If somebody who had problems with you from 20 years ago, you know, reaches out to you, what are you going to do? See? And these are the things you... Are you prepared for this? If you harbor unforgiveness and it forms bitterness in your heart, what's going to happen to you when they reach out to you? Or what if the Holy Spirit says, hey, reach out to them and get this reconciled? Now, just offering that up. What David just did was Romans 16, verse 17. This is a man that causes divisions, avoid him. Okay? I've already read that. Let's keep moving here. Take your Lord's servants, pursue him, lest he find for himself. Joab's men, with the Cherethites and the Pelethites, went out after him. Now, this is not the army that's going. These are David's personal, like, protective force. They went out of Jerusalem to pursue Sheba the son of Bichri. And when they were at the large stone, which is Gibeon, Amasa came before them. Now, Joab was dressed in battle armor. So if you thought Joab, you know, just because he's not at the forefront, he's there. He's wearing the belt, sword fastened with its sheath on his hips. He's going forward. It fell out. What a passive statement. Now, he is a seasoned general, soldier. He probably practiced this how many times? When you conceal and carry, do you practice drawing and... Or how fast can you, right? This is what Joab's doing here. Then Joab said to Amasa, are you in health, my brother? Again, in the Hebrew, shalom, peace. Okay. And Joab took Amasa by the beard. Again, greet one another with a holy kiss. If you read ahead for Sunday, this is life. This is Old and New Testament. This is in the physical realm, but how we're to conduct ourselves in the spiritual realm. Amasa did not notice the sword that was in Joab's hand. So remember another left-handed man who killed with his left hand? You see what he's doing here? He's totally concealing what he's doing. He struck him in the stomach with his entrails poured out on the ground, and he did not strike him again. Thus he died. Then Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued Sheba, the son of Bichri. Meanwhile, one of Joab's men stood near Amasa and said, whoever favors Joab, whoever is for David, follow Joab. I don't know if I'd want that job, but that's where he gets posted. Amasa wallowed in his blood in the middle of the highway. And when the man saw that all the people stood still, he moved Amasa from the highway to the field and threw a garment over him when he saw that everyone who came upon him halted. Now these things happen and can destroy in church. And it may not be the man, you know, wallowing in his blood. But nonetheless, it is very important that when these things happen, that there is an opportunity to have everything out in the open. Very important. A little instruction from the New Testament here. Joab doesn't get his yet, but he's going to get his. How's that? You okay with that? Okay. Go to 1 John 3. Now you need the scriptures. You need a pastor. Shepherd the flock of God that's among you. I mean, the pastor gives an account to God for all these things with the people. And if it ever comes down to it that, hey, this one is a wolf, okay, and got to drive him away from God's flock, will you trust the shepherd? Now, David, the shepherd of Israel, has told everybody Sheba has to die, okay? Now, 1 John 3, quite a few references, but let's pick this up. Now, look at Joab. Can you recognize Joab? Amasa, my brother. He's claiming a brotherhood. He who says he is in the light, 1 John 2:9. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. Verse 11, but he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now this doesn't happen for Joab. 1 John 2:9 and 1 John 2:11. I'm just offering up. Joab hates his brother. Now, he's not undone on the same day. But when Abijah comes, or is it Abijah? Adonijah comes later to take the kingdom before Solomon. Joab goes with him. And when Solomon comes into power, what happens to Joab? Comes to the altar, cries out for mercy, and you know what Solomon says to him? No mercy for you. Okay? Now, 1 John 3:12. Next chapter. We always think of 1 John as the brother of love, and it's the letter of love. Do you know that he talks more about hatred of the brethren? I guess you can't talk about love and truth without talking about what? Hatred. 3:12. 11. So, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now, in all of your spiritual judgments, when you're called upon to hear a matter out, hear everything out and remove all of your prejudice towards the person, whether you like them or not, or preferences, and hear the matter out. How do you describe Cain? Of the wicked one. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. How will it turn out for Joab? He'll abide in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So you want a pastor. You want to be an elder. You want to call upon the truth and give judgment. 1 John 4:20. One more verse there. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Now back to 2 Samuel. So they finally get Amasa out of the highway, cover him up with a blanket, a garment, and he went, then Joab pursued Sheba the son of Bichri. Now you'll notice, Joab's killed two commanders of the army. He's killed Abner. He's killed Amasa. He went through all the tribes of Israel to Abel and Beth Makah and all the Barites. So they were gathered together and also went after Sheba. So they're actually chasing him all the way up to the northern part of Israel. Then they came and besieged him in Abel of Beth Makah, and they cast up a siege mound against the city, stood it by the rampart, and all the people who were with Joab battered the wall to throw it down. Then a wise woman cried out, "Hear, hear!" I think she was, what's that? The town crier. "Hear, hear, please come to say to Joab, come nearby that I may speak with you." Why are you trying to destroy our city? Again, that's the paraphrase, right? And so she says, when he had come near, "Are you Joab?" He answered, "I am." She said to him, "Hear the words of your maidservant." And he answered, "I am listening." So she spoke, saying, "They used to talk in former times, saying, they shall surely seek guidance at Abel, and they would end disputes. I am among the peaceable and faithful in Israel. You seek to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why would you swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? And Joab answered and said, far be it from me that I would swallow up or destroy. That is not so. But a man from the mountains of Ephraim, Sheba the son of Bichri by name, has raised his hand against the king, against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. So the woman said to Joab, watch. His head will be thrown to you over the wall. Now, let's make this distinction, as you would also catch how this wise woman can teach us how to confront. Matthew 18. So if someone does sin against you, you actually have instructions. Would you say Joab is sinning against this city of Israel? You show up with one of the cities of Israel, build a siege mound, and start knocking on the door with a battering ram. Okay? I would say that's what? What are you doing? What have we done? What are you doing? Matthew 18. Now, I'm going to pick it up a little bit earlier. Verse 6, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and were drowned in the depth of the sea. Now, I'm just going to introduce it to you. Hand over Bichri, or Sheba, son of Bichri. Hand him over. He caused this offense. Hand him over. Okay. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come. But woe to that man by whom the offense comes. And then Jesus is very clear, if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off. Better to go into eternity maimed than to keep all of your appendages and have your soul go into hell. Everlasting fire. Huh. Eternal hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, right? Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Now, why can you forgive one who has harmed children? Because this is the one. This is the one that people don't forgive. But why can you? Vengeance is mine. I will repay, said the Lord. You think that angel is going to report every single detail to God over what that person has done? See, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. And then the 100 sheep, one goes astray, comes and gets him. Again, a reference how Jesus goes and gets the one. Even so, it's not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Moreover, this is where I wanted to get to, verse 15. But I started earlier. Why did I start earlier? Because we don't know. Do you hear that? We simply don't know until what happens. Until it's made known. We think we know. But we don't know until the whole matter's heard out. And then, you know, sometimes it's not easy to tell. But that's why you're going to do Matthew 18, verses 15, 16, and 17. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses to hear the church, let him be to you like a brother? No. Like a sinner. And I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I've seen in that case where that ungodly man was disfellowshipped. Do you want to know something? Not a step of Matthew 18 was skipped. It becomes instructional. All right. Now, one more place to turn, and then we'll wrap up here. Now, what happens if you have a brother who's quite difficult and won't listen? I mean, this is it, right? In the church, I mean, why do we end up with 40,000 denominations? Why did that one church become four churches in the same town? Okay? Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. So I'm here to say tonight, if he's a son of Belial, a wicked, godly man of the devil. Now, ladies, I won't leave you off on this. If she is a daughter of Belial, a wicked woman, evil, ungodly, they have to go away. Now, who is that? I think it's very important to always keep our eyes open. Those that are on our security team, I'm saying, you have to know before someone even gets in here. Asking for gifts of discerning of spirits as you're at the door. Talk, inquire, find out. Right? No one should be in the children's ministry area unless they are over there teaching, assisting, or signing their children in and out. See how this works? What are you doing in this part of the building? Okay? And you catch these things. But now amongst brothers, 2 Thessalonians 2, you guys are already there. You've read it already because I've been just rambling. In the Lord, by the Spirit, rambling. You decide. 2 Thessalonians. It's before Timothy. There he is. Thess. So in 2 Thessalonians 2, it's describing the coming Antichrist, the man of sin being revealed, and this is what's coming, and the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. The lawless one will be revealed, the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, unrighteous deception. They're going to perish, did not receive the love of the truth. God sends a strong delusion. But now in the church, let's take care of one another. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. This is not the right verse. I wonder if it's 1 Thessalonians. I may have given you the wrong reference, but whoever that was for. There is no 3:14. I was in 2:14? Oh, thank you guys. My numbers are right. I'm wrong. I'm less right. So 3:14. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So guess what you have to always make a distinction on? Is this truly a brother or sister in the Lord? Or are we in this situation, are we dealing with somebody wicked and of the devil and ungodly? And at first reference, they might be acting the exact same way until you can figure that part out. Okay, now, thank you for rescuing my numbering system. Now, chapter 2 is probably needed and necessary. So now, my final commentary on the night. The woman said to Joab, "Watch, and his head will come, be thrown to you over the wall." Now, let's talk about the Holy Spirit and truth, the Spirit of truth. Let's talk about this. Do you dare base your judgment off of what you think the Spirit of God is saying to you? Or should this be a matter that is heard in front of everybody and you would be willing to accept in submission the judgment that is entrusted to those who are called upon to judge? For example, if you go to a court case and everybody in there has an opinion, including the one being sentenced, it wasn't that bad, they would say, but yet what does the judge have to do and then give an account to God for everything that he sentenced to an individual? The judge is the one who has to have all the information. Behold, the judge is at the door. And you talk about judgment beginning in the house of God. You talk about this idea, because I've seen that with the ungodly man being, again, rightfully disfellowshipped, that there were 300 people who were feeling bad for him and thinking the whole thing was all made up and the Holy Spirit told him that he was an okay man. Do you understand the level of deception that a masquerading son of Belial can accomplish? Even deceiving 300 people who can convince each other, oh, so someone just doesn't like them and they're just trying to get rid of them and they hate them. That's not the way it works. Now, watch and his head will be thrown to you over the wall. Now, evidently, this woman and Joab were, you know, kindred folks that they could easily make a decision. Now, why do I say that? Whenever you're called upon, none of these decisions in church discipline are ever, ever easy. In fact, there's a lot of praying and sleeplessness associated with trying to figure these things. What happened? How bad was it? And yes, the enemy is all the way in on those situations. The woman, in her wisdom, went to all the people, and they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and threw it out to Joab. Then he blew a trumpet, and they withdrew from the city, and every man to his tent. So Joab returned to the king at Jerusalem. Now, Joab was over the army of Israel. He wasn't for a while. He is again. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was over the Cherethites and the Pelethites. And notice, that's David's private security, if you will. Joab's over the army, but he's not over the private security of David. And now, never before have we had one in charge of revenue. So here's the introduction, probably the introduction of taxes at this point. Adoram was in charge of revenue. Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder. Sheba was a scribe. Zadok and Abiathar were the priest. And Iran the Jerite was chief minister under David. Now, so you'll notice that after Sheba is cast out, you know, cast out the scoffer, and contention and strife will cease. Now, probably at some point in all of our lives that we've been the contentious one within, and we have to change within what's really going on. Now, amongst brethren, right, it's all laid out tonight. Contention, strife, envies, that's carnal. What's the best thing you can do when you're carnal? Especially in your home, what's the best thing you can do for your family and those that see you do these things? You can repent and say, hey, I was wrong. Will you please forgive me for that interaction? Likewise in church, what can we do for one another? When we're carnal, envy, strife, contentions, but what do we also have to be aware of? That Satan has no problem sending people in the midst of the body of Christ to deceive, to lie in wait, to destroy. So why would we go through something like this? So we're all aware and together and operating together. Don't cover up for anybody's sins. Now, the particular ungodly man that I'm talking about, there were at least three people who knew what he was up to. And one of them was his wife. Can you imagine the position that husband and wife, the wife knew what he was, but didn't tell anybody. Okay? Now, as I describe these things, another particular one, a pastor's wife, knew what her husband was doing to their two adopted daughters, but she didn't have anyone to tell. And he kept teaching the Bible, kept all of the pastoring things going. She committed suicide. Had nowhere to turn in her mind. Now I say unto you, it is good and right in God's judgments whenever he prunes, because he's the vine dresser. Now, we may not even always understand it, but God does. Do you know that God's very good at pruning before something even becomes a problem? So you learn to trust God's judgments. You learn to, you know, one of the references I always heard is the group putting together a container full to ship to missions, and they had specific instructions of what was allowed. Well, somebody thought they were being spirit-led, put something else in there, and the entire container didn't make its way to where it had to get to because, well, I heard from the Lord on my own. See, and I learned from these things of submission and hearing the matters out. And my statement is, it's good that Sheba's head came over the wall. You think about it, a city wasn't destroyed, a church wasn't destroyed, you go right through this, lives weren't destroyed. How could 300 out of 500 people or 400 out of 500 people be so wrong and say it was the Holy Spirit? That's the greater issue as we learn to be spirit-led in all ministry and to trust the Holy Spirit. And then I'll offer up this. Here's the instruction. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. So Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, teach us how to be Christians who love, forgive, confront, restore, reconcile, repair, confront, correct, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Lord, keep us from evil. We ask your protection upon our lives. We ask all of our eyes to be wide open. Lord, thank you for keeping us from the evil that has come in and out of this place over the years. Just very grateful, Lord, that you would protect us, and we ask for your protection to continue. And Lord, I ask for pastors and elders and deacons. I ask for men, and I ask for strong women and wise women like this woman in the city. And we ask for wisdom from above, and we ask that you would give gifts of the Spirit, discerning of spirits, that we would know what someone is about. Lord, thank you for removing the appendix. Thank you for taking these things out that we didn't know and then you said, and we just trust you in these things, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.